Hi, everyone, my SBFM radio audience, as well as my television audience. Well, I'm going to do something different today. You know what? I don't think I want to take any calls. I forgot to tell them that too. Can you guys hear me? No calls. I have something very important we need to talk about. And I'm going to start off with the announcement. Next week will be my last live show. Okay? I think I've gotten some monies together to go rerun for May. I'll have to find out how we do the audio after that. But my sponsors are no longer going to, you know, sponsor the radio. Well, anyway, I have been thrown. I don't know how I can even explain this. Remember I told you I did one of the DNA tests? I had already done one before. Well, this one has thrown me. It really has. I'm confused. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to give you the full thing right now, but I'm going to give you enough for you to know that I have been thrown, especially for those of you that know me. Okay? Now, I have already said that I'm a fair-complected person to for my radio audience so they can get a pretty good idea. But this has really thrown me. For years, I thought my mother told me her mother was Native American. I have a picture of her and everything, and she looks like she could be Native American, and oh, Lord, I'll tell you, I'll give you the idea on this DNA thing, and then I'm going to get into the programming, but I had to mention this. Now, this is how it comes out in percentage-wise, and I'm not going to give you all the total breakdown right now, but I'm going to give you enough for you to understand where I'm coming from. It says that I'm 35.5% Nigerian. I'm 19% Sierra Leonean. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Sierra Leone. Yeah, I'm one of them. 12.7% Kenyan. Now get this one. This is what really threw me off. I'm 13% Scandinavian. I said, what? Where'd that come from? You know, now, I will talk to you guys some more about this later, but it came out that I was, 70-something percent African and the rest European. Threw me off. My first DNA said that I was Afro-Asian. Now, I haven't gone through the map yet and touched all Asian areas, but it looks like if I do, it's in that 19.8% other. So that may be the Asian part. I don't know. But all I know is when I added up 35.519% for Sierra Leone and 13% Scandinavian, 12.7% Kenyan, and 19.8% other, it comes out to be 100%. So what I'm going to do is look even further into that because they give you a lot of more information than that. It gets deep. I think they got the wrong person. Lord have mercy, I don't know. But anyway, let me get to the part that I want to talk about. Now, if you continue to want me to be live on BBS Radio, you're going to have to be a little more supportive than you have been. So far, Mary is the only person that has been really calling in, and this is the reason why my sponsors are no longer sponsoring BFM Radio, because they are soul beat people. And enough soul beat people did not support the radio part. So if you are listening and you just don't want to call in, but you do want to continue to have SBFM Radio, you either are going to have to contact me at area code 510-479-1089, or you can call the BBS radio station. Go to bbs.com, get the corporate office telephone number, and call somebody over there and tell them you want to support SBFM Radio. Send them the money. It doesn't matter to me. It's going to cost either way it goes. And I personally can't afford it. Just like I personally couldn't afford my television shows that I had on Soulbeat for all those years. The community paid for them. And that's what has to happen now. It don't fit in my budget. Okay? Now, another thing I want to talk about is Mary said something last week that really made me do some thinking about things on how I have to deal with things, and it was pertaining to the Bible. Now, what I'm going to do is share with you some information pertaining to the Bible and get your pencils and paper handy, because I'll be going through this rather fast and be giving you some information where you can go other places. But Mary made me think about some things. I've done this before, but I have not done it on the radio, explaining the Bible and how you're supposed to deal with it. But I'm going to give you an idea right now so you can think on it. But the Bible, basic information before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. That's what it is, basic. It's not going to have everything in it. And a lot of people don't understand why it could not be everything in history in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you now why. Because God would not be able to hold you accountable for your actions if everything was in the Bible, because you're not going to understand it. The Bible has what you need for your individual salvation, redemption and salvation. Individual. Think very selfishly when you're dealing with the Bible. It's for you to become in the body of Christ, not nobody else. And if you don't get to that point, you probably won't get to the point to where you receive your assignment or know or understand the gifts and talents that were given you that you're supposed, how you're supposed to use them. Because we were all given gifts and talents. And you have to learn how to use them. And in order to do that, you're going to have to get into the body of Christ. You, not nobody else. Don't look at nobody around you, in front of you, back of you, or whatever. You. This is for you. The Bible is for you. And if the Bible was contained any more of history than it does now, individually, you wouldn't be able to hold it and carry it around with you. And in turn, God would not be able to hold you accountable for a lot of things because he did not provide you with the writings that's going to be your salvation. So no, you can't have everything in the Bible, but it has a little bit of everything. See, for example, there are five books of law. Those are the books I'm concerned about to prepare you for the court of divine judgment. So when you get up there, you don't look like a fool because it's not a trial. You're going for judgment. Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ already know what you have done and you should not have done it. Or there were some things that you should have been doing and you didn't do it. A lot of people don't understand God's laws come in basically two forms. Prohibitions, don't do it. Positive commands, do it. And if you don't get that, you're going to have some problems. And I think there are problems. That's why I got this assignment. Don't know the law. Five books of the Bible. The first ones that they say are the books of Moses or something like that. There are 12 books of history. 17 books of prophets. 5 books of poetry, songs, and wisdom. Now, some of you that know your Bible, you'll know which books in the Bible that I'd be talking about. There are 4 biographies. Now that was in that didn't add up to all of them. There's 1 history, and that's probably the one in the new The history in the New Testament, I think that is, 21 letters and 1 prophecy. Well, you know the prophecy is Revelation. Now, the 21 letters, most of you know those are the letters that Paul wrote. And the Bible consists of a number of source documentation. And this is what a lot of people don't get. You know, they say it's the King James Version, but what he did was he made sure that what was written in those manuscripts was what was really there. He figured he'd have a whole bunch of power. He'll know some people, other people didn't know. He considered himself God. He was a cold-blooded killer. Read up on him. But yes, if you read into the history of things and understand why God chose certain people to do certain things, they may not even understand that they are under the influence of a Holy Spirit at that time. Well, King James had both holy and evil spirits there, and God had his people right there in line to make sure there was just enough information put in this Bible for your individual salvation. And you have to really dig deep into it. One of the things that I was taught was that everything in the Bible was truly stated, but everything in the Bible is not a statement of truth. You have to learn how to rightly divide the Bible righteously. Okay, I'm going to add that to it. If you're under the influence of unclean spirits while you're looking at the Bible, you're not going to get anything for yourself. I strongly suggest that you pray before you start reading the Bible. And especially if you're not certain you have your armor on and you don't really understand it. If you really don't understand it, you probably don't have your armor. So, I mean, that's a part of your salvation, is to learn the word. Now, I'm going to give you some documentation on this so you could go and look up some of this stuff yourself. Because, see, like I said, they can't put everything in the Bible. Can't. We would not be held accountable. We can't carry one around in our hands. They made it where even our children can hold a Bible in their hands when they reach a certain age. You know how the Bible looks. Think about it. That's pretty young. And that's why the Bible tells you to teach them while they're young, because the Bible made it where children could learn. That's fine. Okay, yes, I'm not taking calls. I'm sorry, Mary, I should have called you. I was so busy and trying to get these last two shows together. But anyway, the Bible is for your salvation and redemption. Yours, okay? You got to get yours together. You can't help nobody, even your family, when you don't have yours together. It's very difficult to even help your family when you have yours together, because they are under the influence of unclean spirits. You have to do the best you can and pray on it, you know. But anyway, I want to give out some book information so you can know where to go get the information that you want to get that has been translated. All of it has been translated. The individuals that were assigned to put one book together by the Lord, where everybody would be able to hold it in their hands, did nobody understand at that time, including King James. He just knew that he had to have that very important information, including the other information that has been translated. And the reason why I'm saying that it's the King James Version of the Bible is the best version of the Bible is because you are able to document all the way back to the manuscripts using James Strong's exhaustive concordance. You'll be able to look up the Hebrew and Greek writings and definitions so you'll understand the Bible yourself if that's the route you wish to take. I'm not saying go through all of that and learn that because you know some things that are not included in the Bible. They couldn't include everything in history in the Bible. As a matter of fact, a lot of the stuff in the Bible is in one region of the world, of a section of the world. If you look at it, the parts that we need to know about is in a part of the world that we're having wars with right now. Everybody fighting over there for that land. you know, waiting for the Savior to come, or waiting for Allah to come, or whatever, and making it appear to be a holy war when it's a war of evil. So what I want to do is give you some information that you can go do some more studies and learn more about the regions during that biblical time, and more about other people. You have to keep in mind, you have to rightly divide those writings as well. People have a tendency to be very subjective when they write. And so, and it occurred in the Bible. And sometimes the information was misunderstood. Now, what those that created the Bible attempted to do, because the Bible sources come from a number of ways, how they put the Bible together, is because of writings, a lot of writings, that were consistent. So what they had to do was put them in certain categories. They canonized them, and there's the Septuagint, and then I told you about the Deuteronomistic Code. God tried to talk to a whole bunch of people before he got to Moses. I may need to bring out the laws of King Hammurabi, and for you to understand how close they were to the laws that Moses was given. But Hammurabi, he done turned himself into God or something, and it was all about him. He made it appear that that inspiration, those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that put those laws in his head was him. It was, but his spirit got the message from God, and he didn't put it together. And a lot of our historical people back there in the Bible, kings and all of them, they thought they were gods, and they act like it in many incidences. But I'm concerned about law. The Deuteronomistic Code was a tough something to deal with, and nobody didn't want to deal with it because it was closer to God's laws. You're not supposed to be doing certain things, and they're things you're supposed to be doing. And they didn't want to get into that, especially when it comes to the treatment of women. The Deuteronomistic Code had a different position for women. They weren't considered like cattle, property, and things of that nature. And those that did not want to get into the Deuteronomistic Code happened to treat women in the manner that they're not supposed to. And that's the reason why we have problems today, and you have women out there talking about protesting and all of this stuff, and it's been going on a long time. I remember when in Young, what did we do to protest with? They burnt bras or something. I can't remember. I think they did. I wasn't into that because I didn't have enough to be wearing nothing to burn. But anyway, the Deuteronomistic Code dealt a little bit more than women with the women, and it was like a constitution for everybody in the world, and of course everybody didn't deal with it. It contained a lot of God's laws that nobody didn't want to deal with, and so now we're still not dealing with it today and just sinning all over the place. Then now you know part of the Bible comes from God's words, you know, Elohim. And this is the writings of the Elohist. Okay? And then there's a collection of writings from all over during biblical time. They call it the Holy Collection because they talk about things that are in the Bible and were in other writings. So they put that collection in there. And then, of course, the priests of the world, the ministers of the world, they did some writings that were considered, it should be brought out so people will understand, and that's the priestly documentation. Many ministers write, they're doing it today. Well, back in biblical days, there were ministers and priests and what have you writing, and they were writing some things that was the same as the other writings. This is the reason why they're saying that this is closest to the truth that you can get, because they put writings from people all over the place in the Bible. And now we have the Yahwists. They are also among people that did a lot of writings, and it's included in the Bible. Okay? They're saying the same thing. That's the reason why it's included. Now, everybody knows that God as well as Jesus have a many names. I'm not going to do a lecture on the names of Jesus or the names of God or the names of Satan. I've done all of that before. But I want you to keep in mind that they're in the Bible a number of names, and it shows you how you're supposed to deal with holy and unholy people who are under the influence of holy or unholy spirits. And this is where most flesh bodies have a problem with because they don't realize that they're under the influence of either a holy or an unholy spirit. So they don't want to believe it, so it's easy for them to be caught up with an unholy spirit. See, it has a lot to do with your faith. So what I'm going to do now is, before I get into talking about some other things, I want to deal with some current affairs before I give you the books that you need for further research. Now, I told y'all Bush was waiting to blow up something. And it was easy for me to detect that based on his behavior. That's what I study. I study people, the behavior of people. And his behavior was similar to a lot of people in history that was not a good person, you know. They weren't good people. And I continued to listen to him. And I knew pretty much that he was letting us know for real what he was going to do. Okay? He's attempting to do everything, you know, with building that wall. And he said he wanted to be in an arms race. He didn't want to really blow up nothing. He want to test stuff out there in areas of how powerful we are, without killing anybody. And he did pretty much that. The most powerful bomb we have. And there was still, last time I saw a count was like 94 people dead. And he done blew that thing up in an area that there's hardly no people. The type areas that they wish to bomb and stuff during an arms race to see whose bombs are more powerful. He ain't said nothing. That's the most powerful bomb. What about the missiles we got? And how powerful they were 30-some-odd years ago, 40 years ago. They still got them and have even more weaponry. I'm going to tell you now, I told you about the MIRV some while back. And the difference at that time, because this is when we was in an arms race with Russia, USSR, who we proved and we beat without even going to a physical war with them. They didn't want to touch us. And they didn't like that. So we have to consider them still enemies. But anyway, Trump will send something over there and blow up a whole bunch of stuff. See, we got talked bad about Japan, what we did to Japan. Real bad. They said it wasn't necessary for us to use that strong of weaponry. What you talking about? You got to go over there and take care of business, blow them away. Now, that should give you a message to don't mess with us. Now, I don't know if that bomb convinced them. It should have. Supposed to be our most powerful bomb, and they put it in there. They blew it up in the air. It wasn't a whole bunch of people. It wasn't in no town, nothing like that. It was probably a shock to them that those 94 people or 90-some people are dead because of how far they were away from real people. But anyway, I wanted to get into some of that. I don't know what our problem is here in this country, but right now, we're going to have to let other countries know we're not going to stand for anything, because sometimes we are looking vulnerable and the people are out there protesting, and the other countries may look at that as it's time to bomb, because they're not even together over there. Sometimes people think crazy like that. And I'm pretty sure we have some enemies that are like that. And I don't know what to tell you other than you better stay in prayer, repent, and don't do it again. That's the best I can tell you now, because the time is near. Either way you look at it, the time is near. And you have to get yourself together. You have to get into that Bible. And for you, if it's any time for you to be selfish, it's time for you to be selfish right now and getting yourself together. Okay, and if you don't do that and begin cleaning up your sins, well, when you get to the court of divine judgment, when the books of are opened, and this is exactly what the Bible tells you, all of it will be brought out. And if you haven't repented, it's in the books, okay? It's in the books. Now, I want you to think about repenting, covering all related sins. Some people think that they may have committed only one sin. Sometimes they have in relationship to that one sin that they thought that was only one sin, there may be several other death penalty sins associated with it. And when you repent, you have to repent each and every one of those sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Now, when you first become in the body of Christ, you can do a general repentance, you know, with your baptism and all of that. But you need to ask the Lord to bring back to your mind, your remembrance, any sins that need to be covered separately. And you want to do that because some of them are death penalty sins. So you want to cover your sins, not cover up. And sometimes that's confusing in the Bible because they use the same definition for both. Covering your sins, that means fixing and try to, you know, whatever mess you made, you're trying to fix it. Covering up your sins means that you are trying to hide it. You don't want anybody to know. So that means for certain you didn't go to that person that you sinned against and ask them for forgiveness. And in most cases, you haven't asked the Lord also for forgiveness. So it's still in the books. It's still there. So you need to pray for guidance in order for it to come to your remembrance. Keep your mind, keep your thoughts on Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and you will get the message on what sins you need to repent. Because those sins are going to come back to your mind. You know what you did. Soon as it comes back to your mind, repent it. That one's gone. If there's any related sins to that, the Lord will bring those to your mind as well. Soon as it comes to your mind, that's your thoughts. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions, that's how clean and unclean spirits communicate with you. It came back to your mind. You know what that means. You're not supposed to try to still cover it up. Try to forget it. Block it out of your mind. You can't do that. You're now working to be in the body of Christ if you aren't already. And you've already repented in a general manner all of your sins. Keep in mind, if something comes to you, thought, idea, suggestion, think about it and decide whether that was a holy message or an unholy message. Because if it's an unholy message and you do not erase it from your mind at that level, and that's the 10th commandment level, thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, and your emotions, you're going to immediately open up your mouth and speak. That's the 9th commandment. And it comes from the 10th commandment, your thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, and how it brought out whatever type emotion you have. You're going to speak it, and you're going to act on it. Your thoughts dictate your actions, and guard your thoughts. The Bible keeps telling you this. Maybe I'm not being fair to my radio audience. This is going to be repeated on television, and my television audience has been hearing this, okay? So a lot of this is a repeat, but for some of my radio audience, they may not have heard this before. Go to your ministers. Discuss this with them. They know you have to go to the court of divine judgment. They know that books are going to be opened. And if your sins have not been repented, they're in those books. And many ministers who have their own assignments in order to teach you this. I know you've gotten this information because I've heard it on radios and televisions. Some of you, the ministers, have been giving you this information. So I suggest you start putting it all together, because right now in this country, we're in a crisis. What if they did bomb over here? Are we prepared as individuals in our communities? Where would they bomb? Because remember, we're not at a holy war. We're at a war that's evil. They fighting for land and material things and in the name of Allah. You know what? When I get to the books that I have tell you a little bit about them, and I'm going to do that very shortly, there's love all up in between everybody's books, but look like they don't want to read the love part. They want to read the part that they can't rightly divide right. We have to do the same thing in the Bible. They out there having wars and things, and yeah, the Bible told us we're going to have wars and rumors of wars, but it didn't say we had to have. They say we are going to have, and that's because of man being influenced by unclean spirits. Now, there are some times that we have to go at war and take care of business because they're messing with us. But that's when they have attacked us, physically attacked us. And you know we've had some attacks going on around here, calling it terrorists and all this. Okay, we're going to have to do better, people, all over the world. We're all guilty and not doing what God is telling us to do. The only difference between myself and many of you is that I have read a little bit more on this, and I may have been in practice a little longer than you, and have a lot of my sins have come to mind for me to repent. But there's no difference. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I work very hard in not sinning on a daily basis. That ain't me. You know, I work hard in keeping my thoughts in line of our Lord Jesus Christ and Father God. Now, I'm going to give you an example of covering your sins very briefly. Okay? This is about a man who kidnapped a little girl, and you know not only girls are being kidnapped, boys are being, and it's not only men are kidnapping, some women are involved sometimes, but let's deal with this particular crime. The 10th commandment was committed when you had the thought to covet somebody's child. To get that towel, you went and bought some candy and toys, and that's seduction. That's the 7th commandment. Then you kidnapped the child. That's the 8th commandment. You raped the child. That's the 7th commandment. You murdered the child. That's the 6th commandment. And if this child was a relative, there's incest. And if the child is of the same sex, then there's homosexuality. And if this person is married, that's adultery. Now, all sexual sins are covered under the 7th commandment. And if there was some perversion, they use instruments, that's the 7th commandment also. Now, this person did all of this to this child. Kidnap, death penalty. Rape, death penalty. Murder, death penalty. Homosexuality, death penalty. Person, adultery, committing adultery, death penalty. All of those carry death penalties. And for certain, if you did any of those sins and you one of those rapists, pedophiles, or whatever, you have to repent each and every one of the sins you committed, and especially death penalty sins, because you're going, when you get to the court of divine judgment, death penalty. That's what you're going to get, death penalty. That's it. So repent and don't do it again. Not all sexual sins carry a death penalty. For example, fornication. That's having sex and you're not married, neither one of you, but both of you are guilty of fornication. That's the seventh commandment as well. And any other kind of, which is can be considered, let's say, perversion, and they're using instruments or types of things that could be oral or anal or what have you, because we've had some people that were killed because somebody wanted to use a stick or a broom, okay? Now, let me give you the death penalty sins again, and then I'm going to get into some books you need to think about. All you, I may not have the ISBN numbers for them, but I want you to think about it. I can go back and get them later. Murder, kidnapping, homosexuality, bestiality, adultery, rape, prostitution, witchcraft, being a false prophet, and if you curse your father and mother, those are all death penalty sins. Now, I want to give you some books that you may want to look up because they were, you know, during biblical time and have been translated. I've told you about a number of books, especially the six Gospels of the six women that wrote. It was Mary, mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist, Mary, sister of Martha, and Martha, sister of Mary, and then there's Mary Magdalene, and then Photina. That's the woman at the well. Her name is not mentioned in the Bible, but she wrote, and it has been translated. I'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, I told you you should get a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, James Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. Now, I have the Quran and the Koran, and those are good books for you to read, for you to know. The Koran is the black Muslims, and the Quran is the ones over there that's acting crazy, just out of their mind. But they're similar because they deal with, what, chapter and surah or something. They're similar, but they're not the same. Now, a lot of what Mary was dealing with has been put in the Apocrypha, okay? You may want to do some research on the Apocrypha. There's a lot of books on the Apocrypha. If you go on the internet, you'll learn about the Apocrypha. And just study a lot of stuff. I have the Book of Mormon. I have the Gnostic Gospels, the Jerusalem Bible, the lost books in the Bible. See, these are the things that people are writing about. The missing books in the Bible. There are no missing books in the Bible. The Bible was put together the way it was intended to put together. And the other writings were written and translated as well. And they have been placed where they should be, in libraries or bookstores for you to go and purchase. And then you will read up on other things that was happening during biblical days. All you need is the Bible for your salvation. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. My responsibility, the law, the first five books of the Bible. All of it that is of sound doctrine today. And that's how we're to deal with it, because when Jesus came, he dealt with sound doctrine of that time, which brought about different thoughts among people because it was slightly different from Old Testament. The Old Testament dealt with sacrifices and blood and for you to got to kill something in order to get rid of your sins. Well, that has been changed. All you do is repent and don't do it again. That's the good news of the whole thing. Repent. That's all you need to do, and don't do it again. And if you need more research outside the Bible, then it's on you if you're being led. But the Bible cannot have everything in it. Okay? Think about it. If you're going to be held accountable for breaking God's laws, for certain you need to know the laws in the beginning and know the laws in the end of that Bible and put it together, rightly divide the Bible. Well, I think I'll close and get back with you next week. And after next week, I won't be live. It will be reruns. I think I've gotten some support in that area. I don't know. But knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Until we meet again, I love you.